Happy Easter. Today's first reading is a very important part, I believe, of the story of the early church. The diversity that became a reality in the church was also a cause of great tension. You'll recall just a couple of weeks ago from the Acts of the Apostles, the description of the church was that they all were of one mind and one heart, and they shared everything they had. And now we know that wasn't the whole story, right? In fact, that was the ideal. But the ideal is hard to achieve, especially when you have people who are different, speak different languages, come from different cultures, each trying to defend their family, each caring. There were, of course, hard feelings, because some were feeling they were being left out. What we see in that first story is that they dealt with it in a creative way and a satisfying way. It says it was acceptable to everyone. So the decision that they came to must have been one that included intense dialogue with all parties. Aren't you glad that there aren't those same divisions today? Right? The church is one of one mind and one heart, right? Our nation, united as always. Our world, no hostility. Well, of course, we laugh because we know that's not true. There are divisions and there are differences. There are injustices. There is prejudice and favoritism, it would seem. And so this story is all the more important in our time as it was in theirs. It tells us some things that are very important. Now, one of the reasons it's important, of course, is seated right over here. It was the establishment of the diaconate. Deacon Vern carries on the ministry that these people were selected to do, right? He feeds. In fact, what you see in the deacon's ministry, and we're blessed with four deacons in this parish, is only a small portion of what they do. They're all called primarily to a ministry to serve the poor in your name and in the name of the church. And so we are grateful for our deacons. But the story has other importance that I would like to focus on today. Unity is one of the marks of the church. When we said they were of one mind and one heart, that indeed is the ideal. It is that for which we strive. We recall Jesus' words. As he left and prayed for his disciples, what did he pray for? Father, I pray that they be one. And then in his instruction to them, they'll know you are my followers because of your love for one another. In today's reading from Peter, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, living stones, with him as the cornerstone. So we strive for unity. We strive for community with strong relationships, not only with our God, but with one another. It would seem a daunting task even within the church, let alone in the country and in the world. We might say, is it possible? Are we doomed to division, to conflict, and even, of course, the resulting violence? Well, here Jesus says to his disciples, to us, do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith also in me. He says, trust. Trust my way. Follow in my way. I am the way and the truth and the life. And if you follow, then you will enjoy the rewards. You will become who you are called to be. He said, I am the way. And Thomas, who speaks for all of us, says, Master, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. So now we do know the way. We know it. But the question is, do we follow it? That community that the church worked hard to form in those early years is the norm and the calling of the church today. Relationships with God and relationships with one another. A dedication to unity in the body of Christ. And the way that we live together, our relationships with each other, that is the good news we proclaim. Forget, you know, we want to give witness to our faith. We want to tell people what we believe. Well, forget about telling them what to believe or what to do or where and when to go to church. Live your faith. That's what gives credibility to your faith, to your words. That's what will win them over, because they will see and they will know we are Christians by our love. Our relationship with Christ and with one another is the message we have for the world. It is the good news. It is the way and the truth if we live it and if we witness it to all our brothers and sisters. Then we become that chosen race, that royal priesthood, that holy nation, a people of His own, so that we may announce His praises. He who has called us out of darkness, the darkness of judgment and division, into His light, the light of unity and peace. And so let's take another look at that first reading today, which presents to us some practical methods on how to achieve what we are striving to accomplish. It is what Pope Francis calls genuine dialogue. That is, looking at the other with care and compassion, listening, touching, cultivating compassion, creating a culture of encounter. We cannot build community if we don't listen to each other, if we harbor grudges, if we don't talk. We cannot be the chosen race in the royal priesthood, a spiritual house, without opening ourselves up to one another, especially in our differences. This practice will lead us to become the body of Christ, to dwell in God through Christ. Compassion, solidarity, learning to treasure the differences that enrich us. All of this is what Jesus calls the way. And these are the building blocks of the kingdom of God. Pope Francis calls this synodality. Learning to dialogue and to find in another reflections of the inexhaustible richness of human life. Those reflections revealing to us the unfathomable depth of God and creation. Cherishing the diversity God has created leads us to love God and the realization that there are many right ways to be transformed into His priesthood. There are many dwelling places, we are told, in the house of God. There is room for everyone.